When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, when he went up 40 days into a, he was actually led up by the Spirit into the wilderness, up, it says, into the wilderness, the three areas of the devil tested him or tempted him with was all about identity. He said to him, if you are the Son of God. The devil's whole aim is to attack and disrupt your identity so you do not know who you are or whose you are. Amen. And so he wants you to lean upon your own strength, your own mind, your own capacity and ability to overcome things in your life. Hallelujah. And so identity is probably one of the greatest things you can be solidified on and anchored in to then grow from that into what God wants to establish in your life. You did not get born again because you thought it was a good idea. You did not get born again because you said a prayer. I know I'm going to ruffle a few feathers this morning, but that's okay. When you confess your prayer before the Lord, it is an acknowledgement of your need. But the prayer does not save me. Can I hear an amen? The prayer does not save you. You're saved by grace through faith. That if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you shall be saved. And that's a very nice scripture that we confess in Romans. That's a very nice scripture. But we confess with our mouth. The issue is the believing of the heart. Because the word believe means to rely upon, adhere to, and trust in. That's what it means. Amen. So it's all right to confess it. But I've got to ensure that my heart is believing it. Amen. You did not hear the gospel because it was just preached. You heard the gospel because he allowed your ear to hear. You heard the gospel because he not just allowed your ear to hear, but he allowed your heart to believe. Even the faith for you to believe that he is the Son of God is from him. It is not your faith. It is his faith. And we'll go into that in a little bit in a minute. You've got to understand that everything about your ability to get born again was orchestrated by the Holy Ghost. Everything. If anything was of my capacity or ability, that means I've had some input into my salvation. The only input into my salvation is this, obedience. Now I'm born again. But being born again, or getting born again, I had no input whatsoever. It was by his drawing of his Spirit. It was no man can come unto the Son unless he's drawn by the Father. The Father then has imposed upon me some works that he desires, some good works that he desires me to fulfill in my life that was actually fashioned and formed before I was even born. The whole emphasis of your born again experience is not an experiential thing that you just do. You are a brand new creation. You need to ratify that in your head this morning. You are not some mixed up, jumbled up, hoping to work out species of someone. You are a brand new creation. Amen. You are not something that he's trying to form. The Holy Ghost came in you. He then resided in your spirit. Your spirit got born again. You were once dead, my Bible says, because of sin. Has anyone watched that movie, The Green Mile? Remember that big, huge hunk of a bat steps out the car and the car goes up? And they used to walk them and go for a little walk along this little corridor, the green corridor, to a place where they were going to be executed. Death. And the saying was, as they walked down, dead man walking. Remember that? Dead man walking. Dead man. Do you know every one of us were dead men walking? And we're all on the way to hell. We're all on the way to death. Dead men walking. But then all of a sudden, your God, my God, allowed me to hear the gospel. Amen. The gospel's not a private gospel. The Holy Ghost didn't come to you and read the book of John 3 and say, you must be born again. You heard the gospel. Somehow, someway, you heard the gospel. And God mixed the gospel with the Spirit and it became alive to you. Amen. That word came alive to you and God allowed you and opened up your spirit and your heart enough to receive the word, that seed, that incorruptible seed of God, and you received it, and something supernatural happened in your spirit. It wasn't just a prayer and you felt good. There is far more to your born-again experience than that. May we walk about this morning? May we talk about this morning? You need to identify with what He's done because it anchors your soul, because when things happen, anyone ever had something happen? When things happen and He comes to attack your identity, when He comes to say to you, are you really born again? Do you really love Him? If you loved Him, you'd do this. Well, your God's done it all for you. Everything you need. That's why He could say, it is finished. Hallelujah. Turn with me to the book of John. I think I've got some slides for you. I'm going to be as quick as I can. There's so much in the born again message. John 3. This is what happened to us. Everyone who's received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, who's acknowledged Him as the only begotten Son of God, who's confessed their sins, and He's washed them, and He's placed His Holy Spirit within you. Amen? This is what's happened to us. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, Rabbi. Now for Nicodemus, that was quite a humbling experience. He was a leader of the Sanhedrin. He was a leader of the Jews. And he called Jesus a rabbi. He knew he had no teaching. He knew he hadn't been to school. He knew that. I was going to try to say rabbinical school, but that's too hard. He hadn't been to school. He hadn't been to Bible college. He hadn't been trained up. But for Nicodemus to call him rabbi was a huge thing. Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, truly, truly. Now, when you say, hear words like this, the old King James, which I personally like, verily, verily. What he's saying to you is not just true, this is true, true, true. This is absolute truth. Truly, truly. I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Doesn't mean he can't see it with his natural eye. He can't see it in total. He can't see. Amen? He's spiritually blind. You cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Fair enough. That's a fair enough question. Jesus answered him, truly, truly. Do you think God's trying to get a message across? Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water. Stop. That water is not water baptism. If it was a condition of, if my salvation was a condition of water baptism, everyone has to be baptized. the water is the water of the word. You were saved. You have to be born of water, of the word of God. You have to receive the gospel of the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must receive the gospel. Amen. Somehow, some way, the gospel was preached to you. You might not have done your prayer or received Jesus in a line of church, but whatever was spoken to you, whether in your room, whether in a church, mine was in a car park in the back of a house, Matilda's was in a lounge room, wherever he spoke to you, wherever he brought that remembrance of that word to you, right, brought the illumination of his spirit to you. But it had to come first through the word. The word then is attached by his spirit because it's a living word. Amen? So the word and the spirit were cooperating together to get you born again. Amen? And you can read that in Ephesians 5, 25, 26, 1 Peter 1, 23, and James 1, 18. You must be born of the water and the spirit. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. I've got to be born of the word. I must be born of the spirit to really be called born again. Knowledge alone will not cause me to be born again. Knowledge only puffs me up. Example. When my boss at Australia Post, an engineer called Roger, his wife came into the workshop one day and fell over, drunk. Matilda rushed to her aid, picked her up, put her on a seat, and immediately preached the gospel to her. She got saved. Roger came down and says, "Are you a Christian?" My manager. I said, "Yes, we are." He says, "Oh, are you born again?" I said, "Yes, I am." He recited to me the chapter of John 3, word for word. Word for word. I was absolutely amazed. I said, "Are you saved?" He goes, "No, I've just got a photographic memory." Knowing just word will puff you up. You've got to be born of the word and the how you get born of the word is the conviction and the weight of the word touches my soul where I just don't realize I have a need. I realize I am a sinner. Amen. In the Gospels, there was 5,000 people that had a need. They needed to be fed. They were hearing the word. But unless they received the word, they couldn't get born again. What they wanted to receive was what? Their next meal. That's why they followed him to the next place. Remember that? They actually beat him there. He was coming by boat. They ran round. They beat him. They were probably setting up the tables, waiting for a Friday night community meal. Amen? But they brought a plate with no food. They expected Jesus to do it. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the flesh. Now Jesus is saying this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Sin. Rebellion. Witchcraft. Unbelief. Are all of the flesh. Flesh will produce flesh. Amen? Flesh will produce flesh. What happens in my soul as an unregenerated man, I am only purely looking after myself. I am self-promoted. I am self-serving. I want to ensure that I survive. I am self. The whole old man is selfish. He's only worried about himself. Amen? And he's in constant rebellion against God. He cannot receive the things of God unless God opens his ears to hear. He's in contradiction to God and the Word of God. Before the Lord opened your ears to hear, undoubtedly I would have used, and I did use, the name of Jesus Christ in vain. I did. I used it as a swear word. And I know I'm not the only one. I had no comprehension of who this person Jesus Christ was at all. I had an idea from my Sunday school, and I had an idea because I went to my Anglican church, but I had no idea who he really was. Amen. And then God allowed me then to receive that word. And I'm going to keep harping on about receiving the word. You have to be a people of the word. Amen. If you're just purely people of the Spirit and you want to see the moving of the Spirit, the giftings of the Spirit, which are all wonderful, don't get me wrong, which are all beautiful. I love them myself. I love to see the edification of the body. I love to see the gifts of the Spirit flowing. I love to see healing. I love to see deliverance. I love to see the prophetic mantle and the voice of God moving. I love all that. But what I love more is Him. Amen. Because them things are all in part. But He's complete. He's whole. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you put your trust in Him, and your heart is toward Him, and you are walking by the Spirit of God, you are now spirit. Amen. And spirit bears things of the Spirit. That's how you can be called a son or a daughter of God. Hallelujah. It is imperative you understand that when God got me born again, you and I were without form and void. Turn with me to Genesis 1:1-5. Let's read it together, actually. Genesis 1. You are a brand new what? Creation. Is that right? You're a brand new creation. Genesis 1:1. Down there. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. This is my reference to being born again. What was that? Last week's love. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. Darkness covered the face of the deep. He's talking about creation. Is that right? I'm going to refer that to you. Brand new creation. God said, the earth was without form and it was void. You were without form and you were void of life. You are empty. You are dead. And the word had to come forth first before the Spirit moved. Word and Spirit. God said, let there be, and there was light. That's how you got born again. God said. God came to that void place of your spirit, that dark place, that old dirty place, that which was void of life. God spoke a word into your spirit, and then He shone His light into your soul and your spirit, and He said, let there be light. And notice this, it was not a natural light on the first day. The sun and the moon weren't created till the fourth day. That light that shone was the glory of God Himself. And when He said to you and me in my spirit, let there be light, darkness had to flee. Immediately that light came into your spirit, you were born again. All by the power of God. And He just didn't leave it at that. He then left a deposit of Himself in you called the Holy Ghost, who resides within your spirit and lives within you, to remind me and you in my spirit that I am born again. He didn't mush up some old earth. He created a brand new species. You are born again. You were translated from a kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His marvelous light. This light. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says this, that you are sons of the light and sons of the day. Hallelujah. You are sons of the light and sons of the day. Notice how He finishes the day. He says, an evening and morning had come. Darkness, then light. He always finishes on light. Great study for you to do if you want to do it. The 7 days of creation, 6 days of creation, and the seventh day of rest. The 6 days of creation are actually your steps of salvation. I'm not going to go there today. Great study. Trees that bear fruit. He wants fruitfulness out of the trees. You are trees of righteousness planted by the Lord. He separated the earth from the waters, and He separated the waters from the above and from beneath. He brings a separation into your life. Amen. He wants to bring fruitfulness from you. The tree bears fruit. Amen. The seventh day, He says, is the day of rest. You're children of the seventh day. 6,000 years have been. You're in the seventh day of the Lord. The seventh day has no night. I'm going to say that again. Read it for yourself. The seventh day has no night. It's continuous light. God wants you to walk in continuous light. You were never designed as a born-again believer to walk in darkness again. You're designed to walk in the light, to walk as children and sons of the day. Because you have the Spirit inside of you that brings revelation of Him. And hear me, the work of the Spirit of the Holy Ghost is to bring revelation of the goodness and the power of Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus. That is John 14. The whole work of the Holy Ghost is to glorify Jesus in you. So when you're going through stuff, when you're going through issues, when you're going through your problems, when you're going into areas of unbelief even, anyone ever been there? Oh, thank you, Lord. We have some honest people at church. Even when you have sometimes areas of unbelief in your mind, and we say in Timothy, when you are faithless, He is what? He is faithful. So He knows my faithlessness. He knows when I am weak. He could become strong in me. He said, no. You're my child. I have a deposit in your life. I have actually written something for you and in you, and I require something of you. He requires something of me, His inheritance in me. So often the church is so caught up in their inheritance in Him, but He's so consumed by His inheritance in you. He has something inside of you that He's going to get out of you to bring glory to the name of Jesus Christ. That's why you got born again. Not to come to church. Good to come to church. Not to play happy clappy. Not to speak in tongues. Not to prophesy. Not to lay hands on the sick. They're all benefits of God. He comes to get some glory out of you that His Son might be glorified upon this earth. Hallelujah. Whether that's through the Word, as you speak the Word. That's why, blessed are the feet of those who preach the... Hallelujah. When you speak, when you just deposit a seed, and if by the grace of God He allows you to reap that seed, and if you don't reap it, His Word does not return. It stays with them. And they can be in their midnight hour, and they can be in their bedroom, they can be in a place of shambles and despair, and all of a sudden that Word gets illuminated to them by the Holy Ghost, and suddenly there is a quickening in their spirit, and all of a sudden they don't know where it comes from, but faith arises in their heart, and they start to believe. They start to believe, and all of a sudden, confession comes out their mouth, and all of a sudden, they get born again. Glory to God. 1 Thessalonians 5:5, for your children of light, children of the day, for there is no light, night, or darkness in them. So when you get attacked, anyone ever been attacked? So when you get attacked, remember that you are born and I am children of the light. Hallelujah. So much so that you are the children of the light. Let's go to the deepest scripture of darkness. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear. How can you have confidence in the valley of the shadow of death? Because it's a shadow. To have a shadow, there has to be light. Glory to God. Doesn't matter what the enemy is throwing at me. My God has an answer to every problem. I've just got to lift my head from where I'm walking and look to Him. He's the lifter of my head so He can guide me and lead me by His Spirit. Glory. Next one, son. I'm getting excited. Hurry up. God doesn't leave it all just there of you just getting saved. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. God is about to bring the greatest deliverance, the greatest miracle of mankind, the restoration of what was, what He has designed to be, what He longed for His sons and daughters after Himself. You are born of the Spirit. You reflect God. You are not God. I'm going to make that very clear this morning. You are not God. You reflect God. You bear the image of God. And everything about you should bring glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. He likens the Spirit to the wind. Where the wind blows. Amen. The wind is the Spirit. Where the wind blows. The Spirit is as free and mysterious in its regeneration, new birth of the work of an unseen wind. You don't control the wind. I'm going to go a little bit deeper here. In our Pentecostalism, sometimes we bring offense to God. You cannot tell the Holy Ghost what to do. I'm going to say that again. You cannot. You've got no right to tell the Holy Ghost what to do. He tells you what to do. We don't make the wind come and we don't make the wind go. You can have as many meetings as you want. Holy Ghost meeting. We're going to have Holy Ghost revival meetings. If the Holy Ghost is not there, all you've got is an empty meeting with a building with lots of people and an empty building without God. You cannot tell God to come and go. What we should be doing is having the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is this: Father, what do you want? Put on the mind of servant mindset. Father, what do you want? Father, what do you want me to do? Father, what do you want me to say? Father, it's all for you. Amen. You don't make the wind go. It just comes and goes. It does what it wants to do. You can hear it. You can actually feel it. You can experience both its gentleness and you can experience its power. Amen. Just ask a tornado. You can experience all that. And that's the way it is with the sovereign God, Spirit, in whom He makes alive you alive and gives you birth. You did not choose Him. I'll say that again. You didn't choose Him. You didn't get up one morning and just say, guess what? I'm going to get born again today. No, you didn't do that. No. Guess what? I had a dream. I'm going to get born again today. He picked you out. He knew you by name before you were even born. He fashioned and formed your days and your works before even there was an earth. He knew you that far away. He then and came represented the gospel to you for you to believe. Now here's the dilemma. When the gospel comes and you have a revelation of the gospel, you can choose not to. He didn't make robots. He gave you a free will. Your born-again experience, you've been handpicked by the Master himself. Hallelujah. Next slide, son. We didn't make our first natural birth. We didn't cause that to happen. Mum and Dad did. Mum and Dad did. And we don't make our second spiritual birth. God does. We didn't raise ourselves from the dead. We didn't create new life in our souls. It's a gift. It's a miracle from God. We did not initiate it. He did. I want you to get this anchored in your soul that I'm talking about the love of the Father for you. I'm talking about the love of God Almighty himself for you. That you had no part in this born-again experience whatsoever. All you did was this. Yes, Lord. You agreed with him. Amen. You agreed that you were a sinner. You agreed that you needed salvation. You agreed that you needed redemption. Amen. And then he came and invaded your space. We didn't control it. It comes from whoever will, and its effect will be seen and felt by all who experience it. It's the sovereign, mysterious work of the Holy Ghost. This second birth is called being born again. John 3 and 5 says we need to be born of the water and the Spirit. Romans says faith comes by what? Comes by hearing. And hearing the word of God. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace you've been saved through what? Through faith. And that not of your, it is a gift from? Even the faith for me to believe he is God came from him. It came from him. Not something I had to whip up and stir up. It came from him. It is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you and I had any input into that, I could say, well, Jesus, you needed me to do this. No. Next one. I'm going quick. When we learn that faith is the work of the Holy Spirit in the new birth, it's a drawing of the Spirit, his love, his passion, his will. Can we go to the next one? Was I reading that? Yeah. He enacted the moment when my ears are able to hear and my heart the capacity to receive. James 1:18 says this, of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth. By his own what? Will. He brought me forth by the word of? That's it. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but imperishable, the Spirit of God, through the living and abiding word, the word and the Spirit working together to get you born again. Born of the Spirit, born of through the word. So we see what the sovereign Spirit of God binds himself to the word because the Holy Spirit's primary work is to glorify Jesus. Amen. John 16:14 says that he will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine and declare it to you. In your own time, read 1 Peter 1:3-7. Read it for yourself. 1 Peter 1:3-7. Next one. I've done it for you there. The born-again miracle that occurred in our life that made us a new creation in Christ includes the translation from the kingdom of darkness into his marvelous light. My Bible actually says you are translated. So quick. So quick is the exchange. It wasn't a dragged-out process to get you out of sin. He immediately translated you from darkness to light. He dealt with the sin issue. He dealt with the other issues in my life, the rebellion. By putting the Spirit of God in me and convicting me in my soul when I speak and do the wrong thing. Your change is not from the outside in, it's from the inside out. And it's the Holy Ghost's fruit that is in you, not your fruit. It's all His. And He's working it through you so you can bring forth and show the glory of God through Jesus Christ our Lord, that He might get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Amen. It includes the translation from kingdom of darkness to His marvelous light, the positioning that you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within me, and His fruitfulness revealed through me because of the greatness of His love toward me, and all to glorify and reveal Jesus Christ on earth. Even your fruitfulness is to reveal Jesus. Amen. Is that my last one? So what happens when I confess with my mouth, believe in my heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that He's the Son of God, and He died and He rose again? What happens? You're born again. I've got 12 things that happens to you, which I am not going to put up there because they are so long. But I have written them down for you because I'm a good pastor. I have written them down on a piece of paper for you, which are at the front. And you can get them, 12 things. There's more than 12. I'm just trying to provoke you into good works. Amen. If you want a copy of those things that actually happened to you when you got born again, shall I just give you some titles? Here's a couple of titles. Your sin is forgiven. Number one, your sin is forgiven. You are justified before God. You are adopted into His family. You pass from darkness to light. You are filled with the Holy Spirit. You inherit eternal life. You move out from under the wrath of God into the love of God. Don't get me wrong. Even if I sin, He's not pleased. And if I sin, He is just to deal with that sin. If I repent, He is just to forgive me of that sin. Amen. You are given Christ's righteousness. You are given Christ's righteousness. I'm going to say that again. You are given Christ's righteousness with the Father. You are granted a place and a reward in God's kingdom. Your eyes of your heart have been opened. Your sin nature has already been defeated. I'm going to say that again. Your sin nature has been defeated. When I choose to do sin because I love sin more than I love God, I'm accountable. For he who knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it is sin. It doesn't mean I've stopped sinning. It just means I have the power over it to stop it. Hear me. I don't have to ask God for more of the anointing to stop sinning. It's already been defeated. You already have the power to defeat the sin that is in you. So I'm going to give you another revelation. Sin is a choice. I just fell into sin. No, you didn't. You just didn't fall into sin. You just didn't trip over, oh, I'm in sin. No, you didn't. You chose to sin. Oh, I just fell. I couldn't help myself. I just fell into sin. Well, get up and repent. Turn away from it. Ask for forgiveness and walk the other way. He gives you the power to get up. And He gives you the power to walk away. You've already got it. He's called the person of the Holy Ghost. Is the Holy Ghost God? Is the Holy Ghost God? Yes, He is. No, He's God. He is God. He is God. These three are one. One God. Right? Three persons of God. The Holy Ghost is God Almighty. He is the resident in your soul. The Trinity of the Godhead dwells in you, what? Bodily. All of God is in you. He didn't give you just the arm of God. He didn't give you the head of God. He didn't give you the leg of God. He gave you all of Himself. Everything is subject to Him. Even your sin. Amen. Do you believe that this morning? That's what it means by being born again. You are born again. That's why the past has no right to you. I'm going to say that again. The past has no right to you because that's darkness. He's taken you out of darkness. And He's put you into His marvelous light. Do you believe that? This is the anchor to your soul. So when you get attacked, and hear me, you will go, in fact, Peter says that, you will go through tribulation. You will go through your fears and your things of doubt. You will have sometimes thoughts of unbelief. He will attack your identity. He will. He even attacked Jesus' identity, and he said this, it says this in one of the Gospels, and he left him till a more opportune, he'll be back. He'll be back. But you should be stronger. You should be more depth of the Word in you. You should be more reliant on the Spirit in you. You should have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. You should be a man and a woman of prayer. Amen. You better have an altar at home, so you can bring your sacrifice of praise and the fruit of your lips. And if you look that up, that word yours isn't even there. It's italicized. It says the fruit of lips, which he creates. Even your praise is not from you. It's created by him. All I've done is been submitted to the Spirit and allowed it to happen. Amen. How do I know I'm born again? You thought I wasn't going to touch this part. How do I know I am born again? I'm changed. There has to come fruit in my life. Not me pushing fruit out, the Spirit bearing fruit through me. When he gives me the opportunity to have patience in the midst of anger. When he allows me to have the opportunity to have love when everything in my flesh wants to hate. So all those circumstances and situations that sometimes we battle with are actually opportunities. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do I fail? Of course I fail, I screw up, I muck up, I do the wrong thing. I do. I'm a man. And I love. Thank you. What a man. Give me 5. You can have another $50 for shopping. But I know one thing. I don't get scared to run to my Father when I've done something wrong. I run into him, say, God, can I be really, really raw this morning? This is sometimes my prayer. God, I've screwed up. And straight away, the Holy Ghost inside of me says, oh, I told you. Usually that's what he says to me. I told you. You didn't listen to me. Even this morning, I was praying in my bedroom, ready for church, and the Lord said to me, ring up David and tell him he doesn't have to play this morning if he doesn't want it. I went, that would have already been done. So yeah, I get there early this morning because someone wanted to practice because the person that was supposed to be singing couldn't sing. David rocks up. I'm thinking, what's David doing here? Isn't it amazing how God speaks to you? Hey? Thank God. I mean, I prefer David playing than the other stuff. But God is speaking to you all the time. And he wants you to get accustomed to the voice of the Father. And he wants you to be obedient to the still small voice. And he wants you to be soft enough and tender enough to say, God, not my will, but your will be done. On this earth, Father, let my life glorify Jesus. Lord, the Spirit of God you've deposited in my life wants to glorify Jesus. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Hallelujah. If you're born again here this morning, you're a son and daughter of the Most High God. Amen. He give you a name above every name. And at the end of the book, he gives you a white stone with a name on it. And if you've been adhering to the voice of the Father and you're walking the best you can in the Spirit, that white stone, and the old Greek ways of doing court, the people would listen to the conversation, what was happening, and they'd have a black stone and a white stone before them. And the jury then would chuck stones in, and they would count the black stones and they would count the white stones. The black stones means guilty. The white stones mean not guilty. I want to tell you, you've been given a name on a white stone. If you're born again here this morning, you are not guilty before the Father. You're redeemed. You're sanctified. You've been justified. Amen. You've been separated for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You are His. And He is jealous over you. So much jealousy is it that He sent His Son to make way and make room for me and you. That through His blood, He became sin for me. That through His blood, I might become the righteousness of Christ and have a white stone given to me. That He can say to me, you are now born of the Spirit, His Spirit. Jesus was Spirit that became flesh. I'm flesh that became Spirit. Amen. That's the exchange. You are not some mixed up, mashed up, hopefully to be something. You are a brand new creation in God Almighty Himself. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Father, I just prophesy over this group of people this morning. And I decree them, if they're born again here this morning, they're sons and daughters of the Most High God. That you have a plan and purpose for their life. And Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. No devil in hell can rob them. No devil in hell can bring darkness toward them unless they allow it. That you've already equipped them and empowered them to overcome all things through Christ who strengthens them. You have made them the head, not the tail. You have made them above and not beneath. They are now seated in heavenly places in my Christ, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that we have a spirit of meekness, not a spirit of weakness. I thank you, Jesus, that you've made me more than an overcomer. And above all, that you will complete that which you've begun in me. That you are the author, and you alone shall be the finisher of my walk and my faith in Jesus' name. Lord, I receive by faith this morning everything you've already done for me. Lord, allow your Spirit to keep me constantly reminded of the goodness of my Father. Allow me, Father, above all things, to make sure that I reveal the Christ to this earth, the Christ in me, the hope of glory. That your name would be magnified, your name would be honored, and your name would be blessed. I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, therefore, I cast all doubts aside. I cast all hindrances aside. And I thank you for the privilege of being born again in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that's you this morning, why don't you give him a clap offering this morning? He is a good God. He's a great God who does good things. Amen. God bless you. Please stay for a cup of tea and cup of coffee and some soup. And if you want a piece of paper, come and get one.